Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. Well, we're continuing with our new series, Rebuilding for the Next Generation. Rebuilding for the Next Generation, out of the book of Nehemiah. And today's message is called to this journey and appointed to serve. We started last week with chapter 1 and ended with this question, is this your prayer? And that prayer was the prayer of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah developed a burden and he prayed. And he prayed as we should pray. He prayed this. He prayed prayers of invocation, calling unto God with a pure heart. He prayed prayers of petition, making his request known unto God. He prayed prayers of supplication, appealing to God for new mercies. He prayed prayers of intercession, standing in the gap for others. And if you missed that message, you can find all of this last week. But what we did not highlight last week, and we did it throughout the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at all of our in-house prayer meeting for our kickoff week of prayer, was he prayed prayers of repentance. He prayed prayers of repentance for himself and for his nation. And I thank God we have this model to follow, so that if you don't know how to pray prayer of repentance for your nation, then get into Nehemiah chapter 1 and pray as he prayed, and you'll begin to see God move mountains. So here we are today, Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, and I'm reading verse 1 to 6. Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 12th year of King Xerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified, but I replied, "Long live the king! How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" "With a prayer to the God of heaven," I replied, "if it pleases the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried." The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, "How long will you be gone? When will you return?" After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. Father, burn the word in our hearts. May we understand even the hidden meanings that, Lord, it revolves over time. So help us to open our spirits to you and to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. After his prayer of appeal to God, Nehemiah prepared to leave the comforts of Persia to go back to his people in Jerusalem to help them. And let's take note of this, because this is a very important notice here. He was in a prominent position as he was cupbearer to the king. And you may ask, how could he be cupbearer to the king and still be a Christian? Well, they were taken into exile. That's chapter 1. That comes back from even the other books of the Old Testament. And I don't want to get into all of that. But they were taken into captivity because of their sinfulness. So now he's a slave in this land. But God had made a way for them, because even in bondage, God will help his people. They were in bondage and God was helping them. So you read in the book of Esther where God rose Esther up to become the queen. And now you begin to see that Esther, because of her position, and now the freedom that the king gave her, you begin to see a lot of the Jewish people rising to power, such as Mordecai, and now you see Nehemiah. These were all slaves in the land that God had given now authority to be over the land, and he was opening up a new way to them. And so Nehemiah being there now as cupbearer to the king, that's a very prestigious position because the king relies on you. If he didn't drink that wine well, and if he didn't taste it properly, the king would be dead. So it's such a trusted position for him to be in, which means that he would have had notoriety. Everyone would know who he is. It means that he would have a good prominence and an economical status and all of that. So it would be easier. When he got the burden about Jerusalem, it would be easier for him to just go to Jerusalem with humanitarian help. But humanitarian help alone is not enough to take people out of bondage. Why is a burden for a city and a nation so important? See, the people then, and even now, were under terrible oppression. They were feeling spiritually defeated. They were absolutely physically and emotionally stripped. Do you know that that's happening today? People are physically and emotionally stripped. Their spirits were broken. Their hearts were sullen with this unexplainable grief. Do you know why that grief was so deep? Because everything they knew that usually enriched their lives and their family and their community, the things they knew of the past no longer existed. We've got to be careful when the walls of society are broken and the protection for our families and our children no longer exists. When spiritual power is stripped, we've got to have a deeper burden and a grief that comes from the inner man. We're watching the stripping of society right now, and many of us are content to just look at it. It's not sufficient to just talk about it. We need to rise up and recognize no humanitarian aid can solve a spiritual problem. Amen? And so there are many wealthy people, billionaires, and they can write a check for $1 billion and send food to some place, but they still can't fix the bondage that the people are in. It is the spiritual power of the church that releases people. That is why missionaries went out in the decades past and still out now, and they break through the strongholds, and that's how we see change and transformation. A nation that turns its back to God can no longer see God's face. It is not God who turns his back to a nation. We get it wrong all the time. God turned his back on me. God does not turn his back on his people, but we turn our back on the word of God, the principles of God, the truth of God, the power of his Holy Spirit. And when we turn our back, we cannot see his face. Nehemiah recognized there was a desperate situation that was upon the nation. It was a deep distress upon the people of God. And what do you need when deep distress is upon the people of God? We need renewed spiritual strength. From those who still have insight and strength left, pick up the pieces, pick up the pace, encourage each other. Let's rebuild a spiritual nation. When we renew our spiritual strength, it rebuilds a spiritual nation. There are more complaints about where our nations are at, but there's not more prayer going up about where our nations are at. Thank you. Men and women of compassion must step forward with a genuinely deep concern and begin to see what is stripping our communities and neighborhoods and even our churches. Not just our communities and neighborhoods, but now stripping our churches. I want to tell you, the enemy is rampant. And the Bible says in the last days we will see this. Don't come and tell me I'm falling apart because some minister or some church fell apart. I'm not falling apart when they fall apart. I'm getting ready to do more. More damage to the kingdom of darkness. That is why you better get ready to say ouch now, because I'm about to drop a bullet. And don't dodge this bullet either. That is why no one who calls themselves a Christian, a Christ follower, should be found coming or going into churches week after week, month after month, year after year, and remain consistently uninvolved. An uninvolved Christian is unchristian. Thank you. Somebody give me something for that. That's worth a couple of dollars right there. To be uninvolved means that you're neither connected to the body of Christ nor concerned about the lostness of others. It means you're neither connected to the body, Christ talks about his body, nor are you concerned about those that are lost. It means you're content to be a taker, not a giver. You're content to be perhaps a complainer, but not a problem solver. A problem solver sees where society's at and says, what can I do, God? Help me. Give me confidence. When we look at our children's ministry, Debbie, our ministry director, shared all that they're doing. Can I ask you, how many of you grew up in Sunday school? Raise your hands high, even online. Look around, look around. Y'all grew up in Sunday school? Did someone teach you or did some angel drop down? Talk to me now. Did someone teach you or did some angel come down? Do some of you remember your Sunday school teacher's name? Do you remember the impact they had on your life? So what impact are you having on the next generation except the complaint about what the school system has done? How can they learn if they have no teachers? How can they get a cup of water if they don't have someone handing it to them? How can we guide them? We have so many issues with kids that are hyper. How can they come in line if nobody comes around to love on them? And we stay uninvolved. Can I tell you, it's either we become a problem solver or we remain a complainer. And too many people lack confidence. And when you lack confidence, it means your lack of confidence is lack of faith. If you've got faith, you could see what God's going to do and God's going to take you. Some, it's too much pride. Oh, that's so below me. Oh, trust me. If God was to say so below me, you'd be way down there. Hello? It takes humility, compassion, and commitment to serve, which is why we don't see so many giving up long-term commitment anymore. We're like the world, just rolling about. Oh, there's a place for everyone in the church, not just in PPC, but any church that you're listening from, anywhere in the world you are, there's a place for you in the church that preaches Jesus Christ. And throughout this book of Nehemiah, he's going to show us that everyone has a place that they can be a part of it. You don't all have to look to be here in a pulpit or somewhere in a pulpit. In fact, Nehemiah was the called, anointed, and appointed leader. And you don't see throughout that book everyone running to take the lead with Nehemiah. Know why? Because later on you're going to see there's some trouble to being a leader. You better be strong. It doesn't always, it looks good, but it's not always good. You've got to know God called you, God appointed you, and God anointed you for this, and you will last. So not all are called to be in this position, but all are called to serve. Can I say that again? All are appointed to serve. I heard someone mention these five laws of persuasion, and I took the five laws and added some definition to them. The five laws were attention, interest, desire, conviction, and commitment. Here's what I added. Attention, I choose to see what's wrong. Interest, I choose to sincerely care about what's wrong. Desire, I choose to do something that I know I can do through Christ who strengthens me. Conviction, I choose to move from sight to action. People see, but they don't do. And commitment, I choose to doing my best for God. I choose. It is a choice. Why could Nehemiah risk approaching the king? Folks, when you have a burden, it's a first step. But how you approach resolving the burden is another thing altogether. It requires wisdom. Nehemiah prayed, and then he waited for the right opportunity. The problem with many of us is oftentimes opportunity has been granted to us, but we neglect to see it because we're waiting for God to send a lightning bolt. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king, Nehemiah 2 verse 1 to 3, and he brought the king wine. And the king says, here's what happened. He says, I had never before been sad in his presence. So the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified, but I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city of my ancestors are in ruins. The gates are destroyed. Here's the thing, folks. Nehemiah kept doing his duty, but the burden of his heart showed on his face, which led to a question from the king. Proverbs 14:26 says, those who fear the Lord are secure. It says that when the king saw him, he became afraid because he knew you're not allowed to come in the king's presence upset. You could be killed for that. And so some of you might be getting excited going, do you mean if I show my face, my upsetness, my boss will then give me time off? No. That's not how life works. Proverbs 15:13 said, a glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. We went through Proverbs, but I love this one. A glad heart makes a happy face. There are some Christians. I have to question where your heart is at because I ain't never seen a happy face. That's what Proverbs says. A glad heart, what makes what? Happy face. A crushed spirit. A broken spirit. It shows. Nehemiah's brokenness was over his spiritual burden. But there's some people, they're walking around with their sadness of life forever. I've been sad like this all my life. This is how I look now. If you frown long enough, it frames your face. Come on. And after a while, you don't even realize how it looks. I'm talking to everyone, even online. Some people have no idea that after a while, your face takes on the context of how your heart has always been. And it is distressing to see. You look at them, you're like, oh, you see them coming down this road. You're like, I think I could do a side road right now. Come on, how many of you have done it? Because a glad face is because of a glad heart. But when we're serving the Lord and we know all that God has done for us, regardless of what pain we've come through, we need to remember that God is the strength of our life and our portion forever. Can I ask you if there's anyone here? Is there anyone here who's never been hurt? Please show me your hand. We want to applaud you. We want to elevate you. We want to be like you. Because everyone gets hurt in life because people hurt people. And that's how life works. And you've hurt someone too. No one's perfect, but God works with our imperfection. So when we've gone through sickness and sadness or pain, we can't just say we're Christ follower, Christ believer, and show our face to be, I don't want to describe it. I just want to say to be. The king could tell the difference in Nehemiah's face, his countenance. Why? Because the king knew who he was. The king identified something is wrong with my Nehemiah. Remember, Nehemiah was not Persian. He was an Israelite. But the king said, this is not my Nehemiah. My Nehemiah comes and he has a gladness to him that makes me happy. Why is his face looking this way? Folks, your faithfulness and service will always make room for you. Can I talk to you this morning? Your faithfulness, there is an opportunity that will be presented. And when the opportunity comes, it's because people know your countenance and your work. You're recognizable because of your consistency. Many of us need to be recognized because of our reputation. And some of people are not recognizable by their reputation because Christian and reputation are not in alignment. Can I talk to us this morning? We should be recognized by our reputation. Secondly, we should be recognized because of our integrity. We should be recognized. Do you know what? Without integrity, We cannot declare that we're children of the Most High God. So if you're working in a place where the integrity is not intact, something is wrong, because you no longer, you say, God's not making room for me, no doors. Get the integrity intact and the room will be made. When you identify who you are in Christ, Christ will make opportunities come. Nehemiah was known by his faithfulness to his service for the king. And here he is now, his heart is broken, and the king looks at him and says, you could try and fake a smile, but I can read you because I know you so well. People should know you so well that they can tell when something is wrong, and then opportunity will knock on your door. When opportunity knocks, hear me, folks. Identify when you need divine direction before making an unfavorable request. The king, when he identified something is wrong with my Nehemiah, he says, what can I do to help you? And knowing that this is now going to be an unorthodox request, he knew that he's now going to ask to leave his post, which means the king could get somebody else who didn't taste the wine properly. So this is a very serious request. Bible says he prayed first. Hey, folks, do you know what we're not doing? We're not praying first. He says, with a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, if it pleased the king, and if you are pleased with me, two things. King, I know that you like my work, but king, let me just ask God. The king's asking my question. He's in the king's presence. And here's this. This is a tense moment here, because you got to speak when the king speaks to you. But he stops and he goes, arrow prayer to heaven. God, I need help because I'm about to ask the king something. Do you know you can do an arrow prayer and avoid some problems? We need to learn to pray first. I live my life by praying first. Sometimes you wonder, why is she like this? Because I pray first. I pray. It's just a whisper of prayer. Usher a prayer. Even if you're coming to pray, pray first. When you're coming into worship, do you know what will make everything different on a Sunday morning? If you pray before you come. If you pray in the car on your way in. Father, let me be a worshiper today that causes somebody's life to be changed. Pray first. God, give me an, pray first. You're going in to see your boss. I'd like to ask my boss. Pray first. You come out, God, you didn't help me. Did you ask him? Pray. So I got to tell you, Nehemiah was called to an unfamiliar journey. He was appointed to serve his people, but God gave him favor to accomplish the task. Next week is an exciting week. I'm preaching on faith and favor. Faith and favor. That ought to ring. Faith and favor. Get ready. Online, get ready. But I got to ask you this week, what is the outflow of your Christian life? What is the outflow? Stop thinking you can't do anything and start trusting God to help you to do whatever he's called you to do. Let me read 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 to 14. Do you know who wrote this passage I'm going to write? This is now Paul the Apostle speaking. Paul, who was Saul, who persecuted Christians. Here's what Paul, who was Saul, here's what he says. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 to 14. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, in my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that came from Christ Jesus. Saul was killing and persecuting Christians. Now God has called him, and he's now commissioned and appointed to be Paul the Apostle. And he's giving his testimony. I was insolent and arrogant, but the Lord saw my heart. Do you know, sometimes you don't have to know the Bible like as if you're from Bible college. You just need to know what the Word of God means to you in your circumstance and through your life journey. We can't all be Bible college students and scholars, but we can all know the Word of God in the context that we live. It comes alive in our context. I want to tell you, if God wants to use us like He used Saul. Do you know why they couldn't contend against him? Because he was knowledgeable, he was a Pharisee, he was all of that. God used him in his space to break down strongholds. God will use you in your space and time to break down strongholds. I grew up as a pastor's kid, and so there are some contexts that I have not been open to. I grew up in a very strong religious background, and that's wonderful. It caused me to become a pastor. My brother walked away from it because it was too stringent, but at the same time, everybody's got a journey. You don't have to be my journey, and I can't be your journey. If God made us all alike, nobody would get saved, but whatever you came through, you need to have a determination. Nobody else is going to suffer in this like I did. Nobody else is going to go down this path, because God took me out so I can help somebody get out. This is why we're all called to a different journey. I shared at the 9 o'clock service, my dad, as I said, was very strict, but he was a mighty man of the word. My mom was a mighty woman of prayer, and that's why I've ended up here. But I'll tell you, I had my little rebellious streak, because it was still a religious cultured church where everything was scripted. If you didn't wear a hat, you weren't saved and sanctified. If you wore pants, you had backslidden. You know, if you wore makeup, you were in trouble. I mean, just keep them ugly and they'll love Jesus. I don't understand. And so I learned in church that, you know, your worship time, you know, used to be very alive, right? And they'd be jumping. And so they ladies used to come and bring hats for me, because I would never come to church in one. And they'd always have one to slap on my head. Those of you know what I'm talking about. And so I would wait for worship time. I was good till worship. Okay. But why did God call someone like this, strongly rebellious, into ministry? Because I made a determination in my life. I will not see another generation suffer under rules and regulations that don't come from the Word of God. As long as your heart is after God, He'll use you in the capacity that you can help others. And you make that your determination to serve God. So you're called to this journey, and you're called to this journey with compassion. And God has appointed you to serve. Who's He appointed you to serve? Serve who? Yourself. Talk to me online in how. Serve who? You're called to serve others. You're not called to serve yourself. And if it's about others, then you use whatever God has given you. Nehemiah said, I have access to the king, and my land where my ancestors are from is broken down. I'm going to ask the king. I'm going to risk something here. I could ask the king for money and bring it back, but that's not going to solve the problem. Let me ask the king, would you release me to go and rebuild a spiritual nation? Folks, Colossians 3:23-24 says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Do you know when you know who you're working for, it makes a difference? Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. An inheritance. That's crowns in heaven. Don't let anyone steal your crown. There are many people like, you know, people hurt you in church. Yeah, yeah. Play us another song now. Remember that the master you are serving is Christ. Colossians 3:24. Who are you serving? Are you sure? Because if you're serving Christ, then we should look like we're serving Christ, act like we're serving Christ, and do like we're serving Christ. That's my master. And those who serve the Lord are secure. So what kind of active service will you offer unto the Lord? And that begins today. I want you to make a determination as you journey with us. Make a determination to grow in the Word so that you understand the Word of God. Participate in learning the Word. Make a determination to grow in prayer so that you will be able to pray confidently, so that when you send up an arrow prayer in an instant moment or in an emergency moment, you know God is there. Hello? Make a determination in worship so that you'll come up and worship. Give God 20 minutes of worship on a Sunday. Is that too much to collectively come and worship and let the atmosphere be charged with the fire of the presence of God so everyone gets engulfed? So when those that are unsaved come in, they're engulfed in the presence, because we're not just traipsing in. We're in with fire in our hearts, releasing it in the house. Make a determination in faith so that you can walk confidently in the realm of the miraculous. You know what, folks? I've been beaten, I've been broken, I've been sick, I've been up, I've been down. But I'll tell you one thing, I have a confident hope in my Lord. And I walk believing in the realm of the miraculous. Do you? Do you believe all the time? Yes, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though I got hit, I'll get up. Oh, I've been cast down, but I'm not abandoned. Do you know who you are? When you begin to walk with the Lord, you either do it in service or in growth, but do something for the sake of his name. So today, we're going to give everyone an opportunity, even online. You can even check in with us. Send in your email. Get the links. Grow with us. Let's grow in active service. Active service. Because God's given us the opportunity. Nehemiah was called to serve, and God gave him an open door. There's an open door for you. Would you find it and walk confidently in it? Would you stand with me? Father, oh God, we trust you. We say yes. We say yes, Lord. God, help us to say yes. Those who don't know how to say yes, God, someone's needed somewhere and somebody's life will be changed because of it. God, we say yes. Hear us, oh God. Hear us, oh God. Father, move on hearts today. That we will recognize, we will grow in the Lord as we grow together in the name of Jesus. Sing it in faith. Come on now. That's not you mean it. Life's not my own. My life's not my own. one last time. My life is not my own. Father, help us, O God. Convict us to mean what we sing and to sing what we mean, to do what we say and to trust you on the journey. So, Lord, we commit ourselves before you and ask you to guide us and whisper into every ear today the direction of the Spirit. I ask this over your people whom you love so much. And God, I pray that we would all understand how much you cherish us and how much you desire to see us grow in you until the knowledge of the Lord covers the sea. So, Father, we thank you for giving us the great gift of salvation, of your love, and of your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.